This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is your weekly dose of wicked.
And welcome to your weekly dose of wicked with Sierra and Ashley.
Welcome back on this Wednesday.
We're so glad that you are here to join us. I'm going to be honest though. Today, it's disgusting. Oh. It's a horrible case.
Why did you do this right before I have to go to bed?
It's absolutely horrible. I just want to give you forewarning. Horrible, horrible, horrible case. I was too far in once I realized how horrible it was.
It's going to give me nightmares?
No, I don't think so. It's not that kind of case.
Okay.
You'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
But in other news, what's going on in our lives, Ashley?
Same old, same old.
Ashley's still pregnant, which is good news.
Okay.
I mean, it is.
That was just really awkward. Mm-hmm. Ashley's still pregnant. Good news.
It is good news.
Okay. Thank you.
You are 19 weeks.
Yeah, 19 weeks.
Week 20 weeks next week, and then we can have your gender reveal on the podcast.
I mean, is it really going to be a gender reveal?
For them.
I mean, yeah, but I'm just going to be like, hey, it's a blank.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be exciting still.
Okay.
We're quickly approaching our 100th episode. That'll be exciting. We should announce on the 100th episode.
Oh, okay. I don't think they care this much.
I don't know if they do either.
I don't think anyone's invested in my pregnancy.
I feel like they are.
Maybe.
We got some exciting messages about your pregnancy.
Yeah, a couple.
We got some new followers. Ooh.
Yeah, we do.
We got some new followers on Instagram, so that's exciting.
We did get a couple new ones.
Yep. So don't know where you came from, but welcome.
Yes. Welcome to the fam.
I'm always intrigued on how people find the podcast. So if you guys could let me know, it'd be ideal.
They just find us because we're awesome.
I know, but I just always wonder, like, how did you find us?
You know, we're the top 12.
That is true. But I still think that was kind of scammy.
Maybe a little.
We got an email. I don't even think you told me about that. We got this email and it was like, we've compiled a list of the top 30 true crime podcasts with two female co-hosts. And we were number 12.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's pretty exciting. I just wonder how people find it, though. Like, is it recommended to them when they're listening to other true crime podcasts? Do they just stumble upon us? Like, how do you find Weekly Dose of Wicked out there in the real world? Because, I mean, we think we're famous, but we know we're not.
Right. And your kids make sure to humble us.
Yes, they sure do.
Tell us that we're not.
All the time. We went to Discovery Place a few weeks ago, and my children ran into a famous YouTuber.
Coolest thing ever.
That was the highlight of the entire trip. Like, fuck mom, who drove them, you know, 40 minutes away to go to this awesome place and who paid for it all. And forget Auntie Ash, who, you know, took her day off to spend it with them going to Discovery Place. They were like, my favorite part was meeting the YouTubers.
Yeah.
And then I said, you literally got taken by two famous podcasters. And they were like, you guys are not famous.
Yeah. They're like, do you know how many followers these people have?
Do you know how many followers they have?
No, and I don't care.
They're famous. So.
I have 100 people on Instagram.
So if you haven't done so, please follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And Facebook. Not really Twitter, because Ashley never posts there.
Because it's not linked.
I know. She has a hard time with Twitter.
I just don't know how to use it.
And we have a hard time with YouTube in general, because YouTube is mean.
Yeah, they're mean.
I don't like YouTube, so I don't know if we'll post on there ever again because they're just too mean to us. They tell us how much we suck and how much they hate us. And I don't know that I want to be there. I don't know if they're my people. I was going to get active on TikTok, but apparently TikTok's getting banned now. So
yeah, I saw that.
I don't know that we'll be posting on there either, but whatever.
Maybe it won't.
It's fine. But anyway, if you haven't done so, like us on our social media pages. Send me a message. Tell me how you found us. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
You can also head on over to www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked if you'd like to support us. We'll be honest, we're really shit Patreon people because we don't post on there like we're supposed to at all.
No.
So for the Patreons that have stuck through, we appreciate you.
We do.
For those of you that left, we understand.
And we're going to really try to be better.
We are going to try to be better. And that's really all you can expect. It's really all you can do is try. So, you know, it is what it is. All right. Well, I guess we don't have any more things to talk about. So you want me to jump into my case? That's disgusting, or?
I guess.
It's really bad. It's really awful. Why? Because I wanted to do a different case. All right. So a few weeks ago, at my job, as a waitress, as a server, it's the professional way to say that, right? We're not waitresses anymore. I think waitress is sexist. So we're servers. Jacob texted me. I'm so sorry. So rude of me.
That was very rude, but it's okay. I forgive you.
I always forget to put on Do Not Disturb. Anyway, so at my job as a waitress slash server slash restaurant person, doesn't matter. I came across this really cool couple. They're vacationing. He is a doctor in criminology at a university, and he gave me a whole list of cases, like awesome cases. So I was looking into some of those, and that's how I came across this one, because there's one I really wanted to do, and I cannot find. Like, there's a Dateline episode on it, and I wanted to watch the Dateline episode to see if it was, you know, something I actually wanted to do, because he just gave me, like, a quick brief synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't find the Dateline episode anywhere, because it's not normal Dateline. It's, like, a spinoff of Dateline. And so it said it was available on YouTube TV, so I went there. That season wasn't available. It was, like, season 8, and then that episode wasn't available. There's a whole bunch of episodes, but not the one I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to find it, like, on YouTube. I couldn't find it. So anyway, that's how I came across this one, because I was trying to find the other one. And then finally, I just gave up looking for it because I couldn't find it. So I was like, all right. And then I found this one, and we've heard it before. I'm sure of it because it's disgusting. And okay. I feel like everyone does it, but still wanted to do it. And it kind of tied together with my last case.
Okay, then.
So without further ado, we are going to talk about the murder of Cassie Jo Stoddart. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Does that name sound familiar to you?
No, but you know, I'm really bad with names.
I know. It's fine.
Got to get some meat. And then I remember.
You got to get some meat?
Yeah, like meat of the story.
Oh. All right. So let's jump in.
Okay.
On September 24th, 2006 in Pocatello. All right. Also, if you live in Idaho and I mispronounce this, I'm really sorry, but I'm not from Idaho. So Pocatello, Idaho. That's how I think it's pronounced. If I mispronounce it, I'm very sorry. So September 24, 2006, in Pocatello, Idaho, a 911 call comes in reporting a homicide. Allison and Frank Contreras returned home from vacation to find their 16-year-old niece dead in their home. Cassie Jo Stoddart had been house-sitting for her aunt and uncle while they were out of town for the weekend. So that's how it tied in. I found another house-sitting.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so apparently it's more prominent than we thought it was.
I guess.
I asked my friend if I could talk about her house sitting on the podcast. She didn't respond to me, so I'm just going to talk about it. And then if she says no, I'll delete it.
Who's your friend?
Melinda. I talked about it before.
Oh, okay.
So when we talked about it before, I was like, I've never known anyone to have a house sitter but Melinda. So she texted me after that episode came out. And she was like, glad I got mentioned in your podcast with a laughing face. And then she said, a lot of people get house sitters. Yeah, she said, a lot of people get house sitters if the fridge happens to leak, toilets, etc. And the pay is pretty good. But once I had kids, I had to stop. So I'm assuming that she couldn't afford it anymore because, like, it's probably expensive.
Right.
And I was like, I've literally never heard of a single person I know getting a house sitter other than you. You just clearly care more about your house than I do. And she said, it didn't help me the one time, though. She flooded the whole house. So I forgot about that. Something happened with the toilet, I think. And it, like, ran the second floor. It, like, flooded her whole first floor.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Actually remember that. And then when she said that, so... Anyway, she messaged me, though. I was like, I'm so glad I made it on the podcast. Like, yeah, you and your bougie house sitting.
That's funny.
So anyway, we've got another house sitter here. So Cassie Jo Stoddart had been house sitting for her aunt and uncle while they were out of town for the weekend. The murder scene was a literal nightmare. 16-year-old Cassie had been stabbed roughly 30 times.
My goodness.
The attack was so brutal, she was even missing a finger.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, a little.
But who would want to murder a beautiful and kind 16-year-old with an entire life ahead of her for seemingly no reason? Cassie's mother recalls allowing her daughter to house sit because she was a responsible teenager. Cassie had went to her aunt and uncle's house on Friday, September 22nd of 2006, and on that Saturday, Cassie's mother tried to call, but she couldn't get a hold of her. She intended to go by the house and check on Cassie, but she said that they just got busy, and before they knew it, the day had just gotten away from them. She was still nervous Saturday night before she went to bed, but she talked herself into going to sleep, even though she was still worried, because she knew that she'd be picking her up the next morning.
It'd be a horrible feeling.
Yeah. So she had no idea that her daughter was already deceased at that point. Police immediately began an investigation into this horrific murder, and they start by building a timeline. So what we know from their investigation is that on Friday, September 22nd, Cassie's mother dropped her off around 5:30 p.m. Cassie was a little nervous to stay by herself, but her aunt had given her permission to have her boyfriend over. So on Friday night around 6 p.m., Matthew Beckham comes over to keep Cassie company. Cassie's family really liked Matt, and they all trusted Cassie and Matt together. The two had only been dating a few months, but were really just crazy about each other, you know, young love. They had a pretty chill night. They just hung out and watched some movies. And around 8:30 p.m., there was a knock at the door. When Cassie answered it, there were two of her classmates there, her and Matt's classmates. Their names were Brian Draper and Tori Adamkick. They were also both 16 years old. They had heard that Cassie was house-sitting, and they assumed that she would be having people over. This was not the case, but the two asked if they could hang out with Cassie and Matt anyway. So the four teens went into the house where they continued watching movies.
Okay, so how close of friends were these people? They just heard she was house-sitting?
So it seems that this was a small town. So I actually started to look into Pocatello. I think that's how we say it. I started to look into it. It seems like it was a pretty small town, but for as small of a town as it was, they did have a very high crime rate, which was kind of crazy. I don't know that they were super close friends, but I mean, they were close enough that she felt okay letting them come in and watch movies with her.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
That just sounds kind of weird to me, but okay.
I mean, it seems like it was a small town. You want me to look up Pocatello and tell you?
No, it's okay.
I mean, it seems like it was a small area. I don't think that's so far-fetched that they had heard that she was house-sitting and assumed she would be having a party. I mean, I would assumed. I don't know that they were super close, but I mean, they were close enough that she was confident letting them come over and watch movies. I mean, okay. I don't know their exact friendship, but I mean, they were friends.
Okay.
So, I don't know where I left off because you interrupted me.
You're welcome.
So, they thought she would be having friends over. This was not the case, but the two asked if they could hang out with Cassie and Matt anyway. So the 14s went into the house where they continued watching movies. The 14s were really into horror movies. So I found some contradiction of what they were watching. One source said that the four were watching Kill Bill Volume 2, but then others said that Cassie and Matt were watching that alone. Regardless, I think it's safe to say they were watching scary movies. That's okay. What they were doing. Cassie's aunt and uncle's house was this like big old house. It was the kind of house that just made noises because it was able to. So probably not the best thing to watch before you have to stay there by yourself overnight, in my opinion.
No, would not happen.
About an hour after Brian and Tori arrived, around 9:30, those two decided that they were bored. So they were just going to let, Matt and Cassie have some time to themselves, and they were going to go see a movie at the local theater. So they left.
Okay.
So Cassie and Matt go back to watching their scary movies, and at around 10 p.m., the power goes out. Oddly enough, though, they look outside, and all the other neighbors still have power.
Hmm.
So Matt tells Cassie he's going to go to the basement to check the breaker box, and as he starts to go down the basement stairs, the power comes back on. So, it's kind of weird, but whatever. It must have just been some sort of a power surge or something,
I guess.
So the two go back to watching their movie, and at around 11 p.m., Matt's mom comes to pick him up. Matt's apprehensive to leave Cassie. He actually begs his mom to let him stay the night with her, telling her about the weird power outage and how he just doesn't feel right leaving her alone. But Matt's mom is like, yeah, no, buddy. You're 16 years old. You're too young to be staying by yourself in an empty house with your girlfriend.
Yeah, don't blame her.
She's like, if Cassie doesn't feel safe here, she can come stay at our house. But you're not staying here alone by yourselves. But Cassie says she can't leave because she's taking care of her aunt and uncle's animals. So she's like, I made a commitment. Like, I'm not going to leave them.
Right.
And that is the last time anyone saw 16-year-old Cassie Jo Stoddart alive.
That's horrible.
Yes. So as police investigate Cassie's murder, they rule out sexual motive as there's no signs of sexual assault. They also rule out robbery gone wrong because there's nothing missing from the house. And they do believe that whoever killed Cassie knew her. The amount of stab wounds is excessive. So obviously they want to start with Matt. When police arrive at his house and tell him that Cassie is deceased, Matt shows very little emotion. Just want to play devil's advocate here. Everybody handles grief differently.
Right. And shock.
Right. And I don't feel like we can just jump to conclusions on that. Like, if he showed no emotion, he's guilty.
Right.
But I think a lot of people do. They think immediately like, he had something to do with it because he shows no emotion.
Right.
I don't know how I would handle it if somebody came and told me at 16 years old that my boyfriend was dead.
I think initially I probably would also show no emotion.
I think, right. I think it would take time for it to set in and I would be probably stoic myself.
I think I would too. I'm usually pretty calm until I am alone.
It takes time for those kinds of things to settle in.
Yeah.
I mean, even just like some events in our life recently that have occurred that I feel like I showed no emotion. Like it took time.
Yeah.
For me to be able to cry or like have any emotion. I mean, quite a few times in the past few months, just with different things that have been going on in our personal lives where I've just had to take time to like reflect. And then I'm like, okay, now that I've reflected, let me break down.
Right.
So
it's taken a while. Not right away.
Yeah. So I don't feel like we can hold that against Matt. So police begin questioning Matt. You know, they're like, oh, do you and Cassie fight? Did you have a fight on Friday? And Matt tells them, no, she was fine when he left. And he recounted the entire night for them. He also tells police about Tori and Brian coming over. After talking to Matt, police do not think he's guilty. They're still concerned about his lack of emotion, but he seems to be telling the truth. So police move on to Brian and Tori. They tell police that they just came by because they thought there'd be a party, but there wasn't, and hanging out got boring, so they left to go to a movie. They had no idea what could have happened to Cassie or who could have hurt her. Police don't really have anywhere to go from here because literally these three 16-year-old boys are the last people to see Cassie alive. And they were just really not giving them much to go off of.
Right.
And, I mean, they're teenage boys, so how much help can they really give?
Probably not a lot.
Getting things out of teenage boys is, I mean, insane.
Pulling teeth.
Yes. It's very difficult to get anything out of them.
Yes.
I feel like it's hard to have a conversation with them most days because they just have nothing to give you.
Yes.
So, that being said, the police decide to go back to Matt and they, you know, bring him in and they're like, hey, would you be willing to take a polygraph test? So, he agrees and he passes.
Okay.
So, I know this is a broken record, but polygraphs are not reliable. They're not admissible in court and you really should never take one. Luckily, this worked out for Matt, but had it not...
Right, it would have just made him look even more guilty.
It would have made him look even more guilty. But since he's passed, police are confident he had nothing to do with Cassie's murder. So they go back to Tori and Brian. They ask them again to recount the night. They tell the same story, but then the investigators switch things up a little bit. And they ask them to describe the movie that they saw at the theater. And that's when things take a turn, because neither boy can tell them what the movie was about.
Hmm.
And now I think it's time for an ad.
Okay, do-do-do.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do-do-do.
That wasn't my ad break, but I felt like it's a better place than where I put my ad break. So I just put it in right there.
Okay. I like it. Like spontaneity.
I know. I felt that's where I wanted originally, but I couldn't find the line. So obviously it's odd to investigators that Tori and Brian can't tell them what the movie's about because
they just watched a couple days ago.
Right. And Tori and Brian are self-proclaimed movie fanatics.
Self-proclaimed.
So the fact that they can't even give a brief description of the movie they saw just doesn't really add up to police.
Do they have a name?
I believe they told them the name of the movie. I just don't think they could tell them, like, what the movie was about. Mm-mm. Like, they couldn't give a detailed description of the movie.
Okay.
Like, they told them the showtime, which lined up. They told them the movie, told them the showtime. And then they're like, okay, what was the movie about? And they're like, But they say they have a good explanation, though, because they didn't pay attention. The movie was just really boring. So they weren't really paying attention to it. And that's why they can't tell them what it's about.
Okay, then. Sounds I feel like suspicious.
Even so, they'd be able to give some description.
Right.
You know, just be like, well, it started off and this was going on, you know, but then it got really boring, so we weren't paying attention. I feel like they would have been able to at least recount part of the movie.
Right. Something.
Yeah.
So they're suspicious.
So obviously this doesn't sit well with police. Sorry, I'm very wheezy.
Yeah, you should use your inhaler. Don't you have one?
I never picked it up from the pharmacy. It was like $35.
Sorry.
So they have nothing to hold the two on, so they let them go, but they start digging. First, they go to the theater, where Brian and Tori claim to have gone. Employees at the theater know Tori and Brian because they're regulars. They come in all the time. They know them by name.
They're self-proclaimed movie enthusiasts.
Yeah, they are. But none of them saw them at the theater on September 22nd.
Interesting.
And that's where Madrick was going to go. But my other spot was better.
Okay.
So with this information, the police take a new approach, which I feel like they should have done in the beginning. They ask Brian to come in alone. I feel like they should have brought them in alone.
Yeah, definitely.
In the beginning, but they didn't. Now they do. So like, hey, Brian, can you come in and can you take a polygraph? And Brian agrees. But when he arrives at the police station, he is very emotional and police can tell that he has something to say. So they sit down, they ask him what's going on. And Brian tells them, you know, Tori and I did leave Cassie and Matt that night, but we came back. He tells police that he and Tori entered the home through a basement door that they had unlocked earlier in the evening. The plan was to just scare them a little bit, shut the power off, make some creepy noises, you know, just spook them. And everything was going according to plan when they decided to head up the stairs and really amp up the terror. But that's when Tori lost it. Brian recalls Tori saying he had to kill Cassie, and he grabbed a knife and just started violently stabbing her while Brian stood by helplessly watching.
Okay.
Cassie was begging for her life when Tori demanded that Brian help him finish her off. And Brian had no choice but to help.
I don't believe that, but okay.
I agree. I don't believe that either. You don't believe that he had no choice to help, or you don't believe that's what went down?
I mean, I don't know if that's what went down, but that he had no choice. I mean, you always have a choice.
I agree with that. But what would you do in that situation?
I don't know. Probably run. I'm a runner.
Okay. You are a runner. That's true.
I probably run right out the front door. Call the cops.
I'm not making any, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Excuses. I'm not making any excuses for anybody, but what would you legit do? Like, if you and your best friend were out somewhere and she just violently started stabbing someone.
I'd probably run. I mean, I don't know that I would just.
If your life was on the line, like if you thought you were going to die,
would I
you
would help? Run. Okay. Like, that is an option.
I guess. I can't run.
Oh, well, I can.
I'm fat. And
I'm also fat, but I'm not in shape. But let me tell you, adrenaline.
Yeah.
I can run.
Okay. I just, in those shoes, I just wonder, like, what people would actually do.
I don't know. Never been in those shoes.
Me neither, so, because I don't hang out with psychopaths.
I do. I hang out with you, but.
Okay. That was rude. I'm not a psychopath.
You set yourself up.
I did. You're right. But I just wonder in that situation. But I don't know. Do we think that's what actually happened?
I don't know. Continue.
So, with this information, police bring Tori in. But Tori tells them that Brian was the mastermind and that he was the one who had to kill Cassie. Tori was only there because they were playing a prank. And then Brian lost it and he stabbed Cassie. So who's actually the mastermind? Who actually killed Cassie?
I don't know.
Brian tells investigators that he and Tori buried all of the evidence in a remote location and that he could take them there. So, I mean, Brian's looking like maybe he's not the mastermind, right? I mean, he's willing to give them the evidence. Brian leads them to Black Rock Canyon. And once there, he shows them exactly where they buried the evidence. And police are like, okay, what are we going to find here, you know? Like, you really have no idea. So the police begin to dig, and they find a black bag. The black bag contained hydrogen peroxide, gloves, creepy clown masks, boots, matches, and multiple knives. In the bottom of the bag, there was also a Sony VHS tape.
They recorded it?
Do you think they recorded it?
I mean, it sounds like these little idiots might have.
So police are concerned that they're going to find, you know, the brutal murder of Cassie on this videotape.
That would be helpful to their investigation.
It would be, but that would also be awful to watch.
I mean, yes, it
would.
That
would be horrific to watch.
For sure.
The brutal murdering of a 16-year-old girl.
Which one was telling the truth?
So what they actually see is Tori and Brian going into extreme detail about their sick fantasies to murder. Openly, in the middle of day, during class. At school.
Hmm. With other people around.
Mm-hmm. And then at one point, you see them zoom in on Cassie putting books in her locker. As if they're selecting her as their victim. At one point in the video, I was going to play parts of the video, but it was already disgusting enough. So I'm just going to read what they said.
Okay.
Instead of making you listen to their sick little twisted minds.
Question though. So like, were they in class?
Yeah.
So, like, no one reported this?
No.
Why?
Because they were movie fanatics.
So?
And they were going to make their own movies and stuff. That's what their arguments were on that. Like, they were movie fanatics. They were really into horror movies. So I don't think it set them off. Also, I don't know. I didn't look up what Corey and Brian looked like. But I don't know, because Cassie was a really pretty sweet-looking girl.
Right.
I just envision them as, like, the loner kids.
Okay.
They even said at one point, one of them, I don't even know the word because it's so disgusting. Like he was inspired by Columbine.
Okay.
So I just envision them as like little outcast boys. They're like nobody's really paying attention to.
Okay.
That's kind of what I think.
Okay, maybe.
I don't think that they were the popular boys that like everyone was overly indulged in. I mean, I just feel like they were kind of the loners. doing their own thing.
Right.
And that makes sense. I mean, how often do people pay attention to those kids in high school, you know?
Right. And that's sad, but true.
I mean, right. I don't want to be like an asshole, but.
Right. It makes sense. Okay.
So at one point in the video, you can hear them say, there should be no laws against killing people. I know it's wrong, but hell, if you restrict somebody from it, they're going to want to do it.
No.
They also say, we found our victim. She's our friend. But you know what? We all have to make sacrifices. They then go on about how Cassie Stoddard is their first victim and how she'll be alone in a big house. And they're laughing about it. Mm. Like, how poetic that she's going to be alone in this house and we're going to kill her.
I don't really think that's poetic there, boys.
One of them says, I'm horny just thinking about it.
Ew.
Yeah. I told you it was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting human beings, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, Brian and Tori did not record themselves killing Cassie. But they did record themselves up to the point of arriving at the house for the second time.
Okay.
And they admit to unlocking the door to get in. Like they say, we just got to Cassie's and we're going to go through the basement door that we unlocked earlier. So, with this evidence, police ask them again what happened that night. And the two admit that they had been planning to kill Cassie. With her house sitting, it was the perfect time. They packed up their knives and scary masks, and they headed to see Cassie. Once there, they knocked on the door, and they entered to watch a movie with Matt and Cassie. One of them snuck off to unlock the basement door. Then they left, and they re-entered the home through the door that they had unlocked in the basement. So it doesn't really seem like they actually left. It seems like they just probably pulled around, came back through the woods, whatever.
Right.
They said they shut the power off when Matt was there, and then they patiently waited for him to leave. Once he was gone, they decided it was time to kill Cassie. They turned the power off again for a few minutes before turning it back on. They then shut the power off and back on, off and on, off and on, multiple times, hoping to just instill some fear in Cassie. They assumed that she was going to come down to the basement, but she never did. So growing impatient, the two headed up the stairs. That's when they both attacked Cassie, brutally murdering her while she begged for her life. Once Cassie was dead, the two left and made another video. In this video, the two seem to be on an adrenaline high. They're giddy over the fact that they just killed Cassie. They're bragging about stabbing her in the throat and seeing her lifeless body. They're laughing. Obviously, the two are going to be charged with Cassie's murder.
Right, obviously.
So during the trial, Tori's main defense would be that he never actually confessed to killing Cassie. And if you watch the videos, it's true. He never actually confessed to it. Brian did.
Okay.
He thought they were just making plans for a horror film.
Okay, but he was there.
But it was all just a prank. It was all just supposed to be a prank. They were just going to make a horror film.
Okay.
Brian tried to use a similar defense. The problem with that is that Brian's DNA was found under Cassie's fingernails. And Cassie's DNA was also found on Brian's clothing. Obviously, regardless of their defense, both were found guilty.
Right.
And sentenced to life in prison. They're still currently in prison. The problem is, though, is that multiple states now are passing laws that say minors charged with life, that it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, I have seen that.
So it's very likely that these two could get out. Because at this point, they have served almost 20 years.
Right. They're like changing it to like 25, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? That's all I have on the case. I mean, that's really the end of it. They're in prison. But I mean, it is a very good likelihood that they could get out.
Right.
Within, I would say, the next 10 years, if not less.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I see the argument. But at the same time, I mean,
this was extremely premeditated.
It was extremely premeditated. And like, I think that has to count for something.
I feel like that's counting for something as well. And they also, like, in their videos talked about how they wanted to be like these infamous killers.
Right.
Like, so that was their goal.
Who's to say they won't do it again?
I feel like they 100% will do it again. And they even said that like their inspiration was Columbine and the movie Scream. Like, that's literally, this killing was the movie Scream.
Right.
That's what it was.
Never watched it.
Okay. Well, that's what it was. Like, that's what the movie Scream is. Girls alone in a big house. Her boyfriend's there. Power goes out. Power comes back on. He leaves. Power goes out again. They kill her in the house. Like, it's literally a reenactment of the movie Scream.
Yeah. I don't watch scary movies. Yeah. I mean, very premeditated.
extremely premeditated and just disgusting. And like the fact that they used a movie plot, like, I don't know. The whole thing just really disgusted me.
I mean, yeah, that's a horrible case. I have heard it before.
I know you have. I mean, a lot of people have done it. I figured you would have heard it.
Yeah. I just, a name. I'm not good with names. I really should be better with that.
Yeah. You should be.
I know. It's a character flaw I have.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know that they should ever get out. I feel like it should be on a case by case.
Yes, definitely. I don't think
that. But that's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to just make it like, oh, minors charged, can't be charged with life.
Right. Which, you know, I definitely think it needs to be case by case.
I feel like they should have been tried as adults for this brutal murder.
Right. I mean, they were close enough.
And I mean, that's brutal. Like, that's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though, because I don't know. I mean, there's also cases of like 12-year-olds that kill 4-year-olds. And like, I don't know how I feel about that either. Because, like, they're so young, but, like, at the same time, when you brutally murder someone, I don't really feel like it matters how old you are.
Right, but I feel like also when, I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter. At any age, when you kill someone, you need psychiatric help.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, when you're 12, like, your brain is not developed, and you really need psychiatric help instead of prison.
Well, that's their argument with, like, the minors, is that their brains aren't fully developed.
But I also feel like a 30-year-old who murders somebody needs psychiatric help.
I agree.
Like, yes, they deserve to go to prison, but they also deserve psychiatric help.
Yes, 100%.
That's what's wrong with them.
Yeah, it's 100% a psychology issue, psychological order, disorder.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, very crazy.
So what I've learned from this is don't house it.
Good thing I already don't.
I mean... Kind of crazy that I just came across two
house sitting,
like back to back.
Mm-hmm. And both were like young girls.
Yeah.
House sitting.
Yeah. For their aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. So I will never hire a house sitter. And I will never be a house sitter.
I don't know. Like I said, I only know the one person who's ever had one. So
I don't know anyone. Well, I know her, but
yeah.
I didn't know she had house sitters.
She did. But I think this one, too, like it said, she was house sitting, like, and they had animals. That's why she was house sitting.
Right. So she was pet sitting?
Yes. I don't know, though. And, yeah, it just makes me wonder, too, like you said, how close friends were they?
Right.
Because it's kind of weird. They just showed up, and they're like, right. Oh, we thought you'd be having a party. And it doesn't seem like she was the type of girl that would be having a party, though, either. Like, everyone described her as, like, very kind, very responsible.
Right.
I don't feel like she was the kind of girl that would have thrown a rager in her aunt and uncle's house when she was supposed to be house sitting. Like, she took the job very seriously.
Right.
Even when she was afraid to stay there, she still stayed there because she was worried about the animals.
Right.
And also, my heart breaks for Matt. Like, how devastating for him. Like, yeah. He didn't even want to leave her.
His parents made him, and then...
And how devastating for his mom, too, because I'm sure, like, she felt guilty about that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
Right, like, oh, I should have let him stay.
And, like, how awful for her mom, who had a bad feeling. So you should never ignore your gut. I mean, I'm not trying to like shame her because obviously she didn't know.
I mean, at that point, also, she couldn't have done
anything. She couldn't have done anything. But it's just like, how awful.
Mm-hmm. The whole case is awful.
The whole thing was just awful. Like her poor mom who had a bad feeling, her poor boyfriend who had a bad feeling.
His mom, her aunt and uncle who hired her to house sit.
Mm-hmm. Awful. All because these two psychopaths.
Yeah.
I mean, literal psychopaths mm-hmm. who were just sitting in class. And also... Like you said, and nobody noticed that they were like having these conversations. They were literally sitting in class.
Right.
Having conversations about killing people and like sick fantasies of killing people.
Right.
And nobody said anything because they were probably like, oh yeah, Brian and Tori, they're weird.
Right.
Just absolutely devastating that like.
Right. And also, you know, like, especially I feel like when you're a teenager, like it's, oh, someone else will turn it in.
Yeah.
Someone else will say something.
Yeah.
It's not my job to say something.
Yeah.
So it could have been that, too.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. I don't know. It's just awfully crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's my case this week.
Well, thank you for that. It'll give me nightmares.
It wasn't a nightmare case. I mean,
no. My house is very creaky, though.
So I'm saying this house is creaky, too. Like, it was a big old creaky house.
Yeah, well, my house is not big and old, but it is creaky.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of noises.
Yeah.
That freak me out all the time.
Yeah. I understand.
I don't think it'll give me nightmares, though. Take one of my sleeping pills and knock out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably need one of those, too. Can't ever go to bed anymore.
I just bought a whole new thing of it.
Just too full of stress.
Just bought a whole new bottle.
Yeah. Stress keeps me awake at night. And the stress of these cases keeps me awake too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It really does. That's why I have to research them. Like, I literally researched this case today because I typically do my research like after my kids to bed, but then I can't sleep.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for me. So like I had to do it today, like during the day.
Right.
Because after I have nightmares after researching.
Yeah. After even you if it's immerse, not even immerse yourself into it for hours.
Yeah. I don't feel like anyone. I just want our listeners to know how much work we put into this and how much it really just bothers my life of sleep because it really does. Yeah, and like I'm probably not even gonna be able to sleep tonight because I have to go edit the whole thing.
Yeah.
True crime, man. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Drains your soul. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week for our 99th episode.
Ooh.
Approaching quickly.
All right. Bye.
I think our 100th episode will be your baby announcement because we can't sell them next week.
Yeah.
So it will be the 100th episode.
Yay.
Look at that. How exciting. All right, guys. Funny. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Have the day that you deserve.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. If you like what you heard and you want to support a small podcast, please give us money at
www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you can join one of our four amazing tiers, starting at just a measly $3 a month. That's literally 10 cents a day. You can join the Slightly Wicked. After that, we've got the Moderately Wicked for just $5 a month, followed by the Awesomely Wicked for $7 a month. And for those high rollers, big ballers, we have the Extraordinarily Wicked. So head on over, check it out. If you like what you see, join it up.
If subscriptions aren't your jam, head on over to
buymeacoffee.com/WDOW, where you can give us a one-time donation to buy us a coffee or, you know, like podcasting equipment, which would probably be a better use of our money.
Feel free to give us a follow on
Instagram at weekly_dose_of_wicked, or you can just search Weekly Dose of Wicked and we'll pop up because we're the only ones.
Or you can give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklydoseofwicked.
Or, you know what, you could just do both, because that would be better for us.
For a direct feed of our podcast, please go to
www.weeklydoseofwicked.buzzsprout.com.
Great news, guys. We've made it big time, and you can now listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yep, yep. Even Pandora. They finally let us in.
Make sure to come back next Wednesday for your
Weekly Dose of Wicked. Ba-dum-psh.